I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the program. Lori Rubenson here with you. And the Jets, unwinning streak remains. And for those of you who are wanting to tank for Trevor, to talk about the Jets, what we saw today, what we've been seeing all season, we bring in Mark Canizzaro, a columnist from the New York Post, was in the press conference, all of it today. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Lori, thanks.
We'll start with the big obvious ones here. Can you evaluate Sam Darnold's play today? He had his top three wide receivers, and that was something that Adam Gase, that the team had talked about, as they had, tried to, I don't want to say make excuses for Sam, but he never had those targets. Today, there were the targets. How do you evaluate how Sam Darnold played today?
Yeah, I mean, Lori, I think we can say make excuses for Sam, because really that's been, the backbone of the reasoning that we've gotten, and in fairness, he hasn't had his weapons. And, it has been hard to evaluate him, but I thought today was a very damning performance. I know it was, the first time back after missing two games, but nonetheless, he just, he was off. It just seems like every one of these games, there's a play or two or maybe three that, a big play that he wants back, and today was, the umpteenth time that it's happened. That roll, when he gets flushed out in that third quarter play, to the right side and tries to force the ball into Jamison Crowder. I mean, that was a killer, that interception. And, he seems to make one or two of those every game, and we're three years into his career now. And I get it that they haven't built around him very well, and I understand that he's had some injury, some bad luck with injuries. But, at what point do we decide that it's just not working? And I think we've gotten to that point.
Yeah, at least with the Jets, it feels like it's not working. Has Sam Darnold gotten worse over the past 2 years working with Adam Gase as his coach? We talk about you want to see progress. Gase was brought in to work with Darnold. Has Darnold gotten worse?
I think you can make that argument. And listen, I mean, you said it right there, Lori. One of the basis of Gase being hired by the Jets was because he was supposedly a quote-unquote quarterback whisperer, as people like to say. And, I'm not sure which quarterback he whispered into stardom, because Peyton Manning was already there, by the time he was working with Peyton. Peyton was probably coaching Gase more than Gase was coaching Peyton in Denver. And frankly, what was Ryan Tannehill in Miami, while Gase was there? He's gone on to become a pretty damn good quarterback in Tennessee now. So, yeah, I think you can make that argument. I don't want to blame everything on Gase.
Sure.
In terms of Sam's regression, because, Sam needs to take responsibility for that as well. I'm not trying to compare Sam to Mark Sanchez, but Mark Sanchez, after a while, for saying all the right things after these games, I know I got to stop turning the ball over. I can't throw that pick. I can't do that. We're kind of getting to that mode with Sam now, where it's the same lament after every loss, and there's too many of them.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we have a little bit of a comparison, not the future of the franchise, but is the team playing better when Joe Flacco is in there at quarterback as opposed to Sam Darnold?
Well, it has the last, the previous 2 weeks, there's no question. It was more competitive. The only reason today's game was even, as close as 13-3 before the Dolphins pulled away, because the Dolphins did everything they could to give the, keep mm-hmm. the Jets in the game, with those two fumbles, and the Jets couldn't, score a single point off those two turnovers. Credit the Jets defense for forcing them, but nonetheless, I just never felt, even at 13-3, and I'm sure you watched the game,
yeah,
did you really feel like the Jets were going to charge back and win this game? I mean, it was like they were running in place, in water, in a pool. It was just disappointing to see how anemic they were. especially when you saw the progress that they seemed to make offensively, you know, scoring 50-plus points the last two games, you know, with Flacco throwing the ball. Mm-hmm. It's perplexing, and I think that Sam can still be a successful quarterback in this league, but he absolutely needs a change of scenery because it's just not going to work here.
Yeah, I don't think we have to debate is there any question that the Jets need to move on, regardless of whether they had the top pick in the draft or not. I think that they have to move on. But so then the other question becomes, the Lions fired their GM and their head coach, Matt Patricia, after this week's game, after their Week 12 game. I don't think it's a matter of if Adam Gase will get fired. It's a matter of when will it happen. In your opinion, when is the right time to fire Adam Gase this season?
I think the right time is now, Laurie. You know, and I hate saying that because I don't like messing with people's careers.
I agree.
But listen, you know, he's also getting paid, so let's not feel that sorry for him either, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know, anyway, I'm going to get into that.
I think we can just put it out there. It gives you no pleasure. It gives me no glee. We don't root for people to lose their jobs.
No,
but if
and you know what?
Analyzing it fairly for fans, you know,
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I kind of where I was going there is really, I think the assistant coaches are the people that you feel more sorry for because, you know, they're the ones that are scrambling, you know, and their contracts certainly aren't as large as Adams.
Mm-hmm.
But the time is now. I think, you know, you also have two teams with interim coaches, obviously, excuse me, with Atlanta and mm-hmm. Houston. So, you know, you got three teams that potentially are already underway looking for their next coach of the future. Obviously, those teams can't talk to Eric Bieniemy and such, you know, yet and all those that kind of thing. But, you know, they certainly can get their process underway. And I think it's time for the Jets to do that, you know, lest they fall further behind on that, you know, with the three teams that are already out there looking. And the other thing is, honestly, what else do we need to see here at this point? You know, I mean, this is not about sparking the team. It's not about,
right,
you know, it's not about appeasing the fans. The fans all know he's going to get fired at some point soon. But I think it's just about just kind of moving on and at least having some sort of fresh approach, as fresh as it possibly can be for the last few games of the year, and really mostly just about accelerating the process. Because what else? I mean, I felt like Adam today, to be honest with you, Laurie, when we spoke to him in the Zoom call, and my colleague, our Jets beat writer at the Post, Brian Costello, was asking me about this because I covered Rich Kotite, you know, back in the day, And some of the things you hear coming out of Adam's mouth, you know, when we asked him, you know, what makes him think he's still the guy to lead this team forward, and, you know, for him to say, well, you know, we're still playing hard, and these are all the things that Rich Kotite used to say, you know, and it just kind of, you know, you're just seeing it, he knows it, and I just think it's time. I know Christopher Johnson does not want to fire him, he hasn't all year, but he knows he has to now, and I think it's just time.
Yeah, we're talking to Mark Canizzaro from the Post, and it's helpful to have that perspective of, you know, that you've been covering the team in one way or another for such a long time that you have that perspective back to the Kotite years. And I think, you know, to your point, we've moved well past the spark and can Sam Darnold be saved in any of that part of the season. You're exactly right. This really is about just making sure the Jets are not behind other teams when it comes to that head coaching search. And if there is, you know, it may be that Eric Bieniemy is their top guy and then they'll wait for him. But don't you need to do your due diligence? There may be a number of college coaches you want to talk to. Who's the next Matt Rhule or somebody like that? You have to do all that homework and not be behind. And that time is now. Let's switch, though, also then on Adam Gase, just to put a bow on this, is can you explain, I think I followed it, but your help in figuring out
I know where you're going here, Laurie.
who's on first? Who's calling the plays for the New York Jets on offense? And if Adam Gase is taking back some of that play calling role, why deny that?
I'm going to preface this by saying I don't have a very astute answer here because this has become a very curious story in the last few weeks. Obviously, he gave up the play calling in a desperation, you know, 4 weeks ago in a desperation mode to try to do whatever, whether it's spark the team, whatever it is, or just at least show, you know, ownership that he's trying to do something different. But what's taking place in the last couple of weeks, when last week, everybody was speculating that he was calling the plays, because it looked on the field like he was calling the plays, and he said no, it's still Dowell and all that, blah blah blah. Now today, we're watching Dowell on the sidelines, their offensive coordinator, Dowell Loggins, I'm referring to, and there were times when he wasn't even like looking at the field or speaking into his microphone when players are being called. It was clear that Adam was calling the plays. Now, why Adam is playing this cat and mouse game, I have no idea. It's become like this weird and kind of silly diversion to the fact that it doesn't matter who calls these plays; they both stink at calling plays. And I don't know. I don't have an answer as to why or what exactly is taking place there. I mean, I know that Chris Mortensen this morning from ESPN had reported, that he was, prior to the game even starting, that Adam was going to give up play calling. I mean, Adam was going to resume calling the plays. I'm sorry. So I just don't understand, I mean, honestly, this has become one of the biggest non-stories,
right,
in my opinion, because neither guy has called plays well. I mean, Loggins, when he was doing it the first couple of weeks, it was awful, for stretches in those games. So, yeah, this has become a really silly non-story, in my opinion. It's kind of a distraction to the greater point, which is the fact that all of these guys need to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you tell someone they can't do something, then of course they want to do something. So it's the more he denies it to the media and pretends he's not doing it or won't talk about it, the more everybody on the media wants to turn into a sleuth and catch him misleading us all. If he would just come out and say, this is a non-story, regardless of, it's a combination of me and Dowell, and by the way, we're obviously not doing a good enough job. Because play calling is not good. Just say
no,
that,
exactly.
and that would be fine.
He kind of, after stumbling through some explanations today on the Zoom call after the game, he kind of did say that it was a combo platter, because, he talked about the fact that he's doing the two-minute stuff, and then later in the conversation he talked about the fact that once they got behind, he was calling. Well, I got news for you. They were behind the entire game after they went up 7-0, basically, right? Or 3-0, I'm sorry. So, after their first drive, they were behind the entire game, and it was very clear, more so clear today than it was the previous week, Lori, that Loggins was not calling the plays.
Right.
I mean, it just didn't look like it. You could see it. You could just put your binoculars on him on the sideline and see what's taking place. There were a couple times when he was speaking to another assistant coach while the offense was conducting its business on the field. So, maybe he was calling plays via telepathy or something like that. I don't know.
Hey, if we're trying to be positive for a little bit here, what did you see from the rookie wide receiver Denzel Mims?
I've liked what I've seen, honestly, since he came in there. And he made a really good catch across the middle today. Boy, on the fingertips, kind of caught the point of the ball. I thought that was a really good catch. There's so much, and this guy has, this is a guy that didn't even have training camp. He was hurt before they had a training camp practice. So, huge positive, with Mims, without question. And obviously we've talked about Becton before, with the left tackle. He's really had a spectacular season for a rookie. He's clearly the best rookie tackle out of that really good rookie tackle class. And then on the other side of the ball, Quinnen Williams, is really shown up this year. I thought he's backed up his talk about the fact that he was going to have a better year this year because he was disappointing last year. Today he had a forced fumble and a sack, and he continues to show up. So they have pieces there, but, boy, there's just not enough pieces.
Yeah, I actually think on some level it's almost more damning for Adam Gase when you know that he's not really responsible for the defense. That is Greg Williams' side of things. And the defense does not have much talent. They traded away their other than maybe Marcus May and Quinnen Williams, they really traded away their playmakers on defense. So they're undermanned, yet if we look at today's game, the defense kept them, competed in a way that really stood out to me versus the offense.
No question. And frankly, I don't, the defense hasn't been great, and I guess we can't expect it to be great with the talent they have on there. And yeah, you mentioned the trade. I mean, they trade Jamal Adams, early on, and we don't even really talk about the fact that C.J. Mosley, who was their big free agent signing last year and played for about 3 minutes, before getting injured and all that last year, you know, opted out this year. So the guy hasn't even, you know, he hasn't played in 2 years.
And then Avery Williamson's, Steve McClendon, they traded away those players, which I don't begrudge. I mean, that's, you know, you're in rebuilding mode, but they really don't have playmakers and traded away a lot of leadership. And yet I saw compete from the defense. I did not see compete from the offense.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I mean, I wrote a column in today's, you know, Sunday Post, yesterday's Post, but just, I mean, I kind of, I've seen what you just said. I mean, I see Jordan Jenkins busting his ass all the time. That's throwing a couple of names out there, but you see guys out there. I don't see guys dogging it, you know. And you know, I kind of rooted for the Jets to win a game, and this is probably their one winnable game left on the schedule, unless New England decides to tank, you know, to make sure the Jets don't get the number one pick in the last week of the year. But you know, I just, you know, listen, I'm a human being, and unfortunately, we're not in those locker rooms now because of COVID, but, you know, you get to know these players when you're in the locker room, and certainly the veteran guys like the Jordan Jenkins of the world, I know, even though I don't get a chance to see them face-to-face this year. But, you know, listen, we're all human. I'm not rooting interest where I want the Jets to run the table, whatever. I'm not a Jet fan, so to speak, but, you know, I have some empathy for these guys that are coming out there every day and clearly, you know, showing a lot of effort, not getting wins. Of course, I got a lot of very negative email from Jets fans who want the 0-16, you know, to happen. But whatever, you know, I'm just the fact is, you know, the Jets are probably going to have the number one pick regardless anyway. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I hear you. I have to say, I don't judge, and I talk about this in my show, but I don't judge fans. I don't think there's a right or wrong way to be a fan. If you're loyal to your team and you are part of that is strategically, you say the best thing for us to move forward and be as good as quickly as possible is to tank for Trevor. I'm fine with that type of fan. And if you are the type of fan who says, I root for my team every week, I'm fine with that type of fan. But I understand where you're, you know, your point. But
yeah, I'm not begrudging.
Judge,
I'm not
but
begrudging.
I can't judge the fan who says, you know what? This is brutal. I don't want to go through it anymore. And the best way to do that is actually to get Trevor Lawrence to be our quarterback.
Yeah, no, I mean, to be clear now, you know, and the point, the theme to that column was not me judging and ripping into fans who won 0-16, and not in any way. I was just expressing my own, you know, empathy for these guys that
sure.
I do see trying their butts off, you know, which may sound Pollyanna or whatever, you know, take it however you want. I don't begrudge. Listen, my wife often says to me when we're on vacation, if we've whatever, depending on what we're doing, she says nobody could tell you how to have your own vacation, and nobody could tell a fan how to be a fan, right? So, I totally, you know, your statement is completely, you know, spot on, and certainly does not contradict what I was writing. I was just saying, you know, I just feel bad for these guys. I mean, just as a human being.
Sure.
You know, who's gotten to know, you know, a number of the guys in a room covering them for a few years. You know, you don't like to see this stuff. But, I root for Sam, too, because I think Sam's always said and done the right things.
Yep.
I just don't think he's very good. I don't think he's good. I don't think he's as good as the Jets thought he was going to be when they drafted him third overall.
Certainly not as good as that. But you wonder, we'll see. Time will tell. Does he, you know, I hope for Sam Darnold's sake that he ends up in a situation with some good coaching and some good talent around him and gets a second chance. You know, for any of these guys who are good guys, you hope they get a legitimate shot. And the Jets, and you hope that Joe Douglas's Jets moving forward without Adam Gase, if it is with a Trevor Lawrence, that the Jets put the right talent in place so they don't break another cornerback.
Yeah, and listen, Sam's going to get another chance. They, you know, all guys like Sam get another chance. Listen, Sanchez got chances. You know, other guys have gotten chances, you know, and he'll get another chance, and hopefully it's in the right spot because it really is. You got to be lucky.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be, you know, you got to be lucky.
Yeah. All right. Mark Canisero, always appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Thanks, Lori. Good talking to you.